Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, tattoo it on your forehead, all that good stuff. Show the world you're a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Peter Weiss from Total Maintenance. Total Maintenance has been serving the state of New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania with commercial cleaning, floor cleaning, and handyman services for 14 years. If you want to reach out to Peter, you can get a hold of him and his team at www.totalservices.org. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Living the dream, my friend. So good to speak with you. Tell us a little bit about how you got in the cleaning business and how you found Cleaning Nation.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for putting all those podcasts out there. It definitely has helped me over the years, just having someone else to go to get ideas and information to use towards my business. I got into the business, like I said, 14 years ago. My father-in-law has been in the business for basically 50 years. And at the time, I was in the vending machine business. I've always been self-employed and always liked doing my own thing. And he would always tell me how great the commercial cleaning business was. And I never believed him. I never wanted to be out there cleaning toilets or mopping floors. But he would always tell me, like, we would have similar accounts where he might be doing the cleaning. And just by chance in the area, I would have vending machines there. And he would say to me, you know, how much money are you making on those vending machines? And I would tell him maybe, you know, one account, $400 a month. And he would like to brag and tell me on how he was making $1,500 a month cleaning the building. And he's like, and then this weekend, we're going to be stripping and waxing their floors and I'm making $1,500 extra. Meanwhile, I'm bringing in 10 cases of soda to load into a machine. I'm outlaying $5,000 for a couple of machines. And he would just always brag about how wonderful the business was. And when I had an opportunity to sell my vending business, I said, I'm going to give this business a try. And that's how I got started.
So did you partner with him or did you start your own gig?
Nope, I started my own. He was kind of an old school guy. And now he had his own business. And I felt like I could get accounts and get started in the business on my own. So he gave me a lot of sales advice. He really wasn't hands-on or knowing details about, you know, how you go about stripping and waxing, carpet cleaning. He just basically had a subcontractor, took care of everything, and he just kind of wanted to do sales. So I went out and started my own business doing it the way I wanted to do it.
Fantastic. And that was, looks like almost 15 years ago, right?
Yep, in 2003.
Beautiful.
Yep, so almost 15.
How are you guys doing now? You got a bunch of employees running around? You do any work yourself? Give us a little snapshot of the business as it stands today.
Well, we stayed lean and mean over the years. And, you know, I never had an office until maybe 7 years into business. Recently moved into nicer space as our sales have grown. I've kind of just done it incrementally. I've obviously, I'm laying out for cash flow, for covering receivables. So it wasn't something that I wanted to constantly grow. But now we got to a point where basically went from no accounts back in 2003. And now we have about 200 buildings we service. And our sales last year were 2.9 million.
Good for you. That's a great 14 years, 0 to 3 million. That's a hell of a good start, my friend.
I appreciate it. And we're still looking to move forward. I'm getting older. So at one point, I was happy with, when my sales hit 1 million or 1.5 million. And we kind of stayed at that level for a couple of years. But as time goes on, I realized, we can get bigger, we can do things better, and we can be more profitable. So now my goal, I am turning 50. So I can't, I'm not the young kid I used to be. And so I'm much more aggressive as far as now trying to really continue to grow my business each year, which the last few years we have done.
Great, because I got to tell you, the show's a lot more boring when people come on and go, nope, we have no goals. We're fine. Everything as it is. It's easier for me, but listeners don't tend to like it. So I'm glad that you've got some goals. And
that's easier on them as well. If they don't have big goals, then they might be happy staying at a certain size business, which for some people isn't a bad thing. But yeah, when you do want to continue to aggressively grow, you need all the advice, all the help you can get doing it, because it's not an easy process.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I found throughout my career, I've always had a mentor or mentors that have been there, done that, that whatever the relationship would look like, paid or free or begging or whatever, it didn't make any difference. I've always had guys, gals, just people that have walked down that path that I want to walk down, whether it's business or otherwise, right? For, you know, when I want to lose weight or gain muscle or be healthy, I might have a mentor in that that couldn't know anything about business, but that's his expertise. So I love that you've got that attitude. And that said, how can I help, my friend? What's going on specifically in your world that I can bring some value to you and Cleveland Nation?
Well, I'd have to say the one area that I feel like for 14 years, I've always had issues and not really been able to figure out are with dealing with hiring salespeople. Whenever I ask, you know, people on cleaning boards, you know, on different websites, you know, how much are you paying? How do you end up making sure it's successful? No one really wants to give, I feel, an honest answer, even if they do have salespeople or if they've tried it. I have been really my main salesperson, and I have other people who make money when, you know, doing sales on and off during the course of their other business, if they're quality control managers, things like that. But when I seem to try to hire a salesperson, first of all, I really never can find anyone with past experience in commercial janitorial. And when I do, they haven't particularly, I guess, been that successful in trying it before. But how do you think you would set up someone to be successful where basically year after year you can pay them what they deserve to make as a, I guess, a base salary, and they can make enough in commissions that they're happy and that they're, you know, successful in actually closing accounts?
Great, great question. Let me ask just a couple background questions and then I'll get into details. So I can't remember if you mentioned this already or not. So you're doing about 3 million now. What are your goals over the next 5 years so I can make sure that these salespeople fit into what you're doing, right? A lot of people want to kind of grow just to grow, and they think, well, this will help or that'll help or whatever initiative they think. And I want to make sure that we're always putting anything we do in terms of sales and marketing in context with the overreaching goal. So give me kind of the bigger goal that we're looking to serve, and then we'll talk about how salespeople might or should fit into that.
Sure. I mean, my goal really the last few years is to try to grow about 20% a year. The last few years, economy has been positive, so I've been able to do that. You know, a lot of it is taking care of your customers and making sure we have good references to help our salespeople move forward. But now we're really looking to really try to grow. You know, right now I think we're averaging close to 3.2, 3.3 million a year since the end of last year. So it really is to continue to add on more accounts. And, you know, my goal is to be up about 20% each year. So we just know we need more accounts to keep doing that.
Yeah, and 20% doesn't, you know, sounds like a good goal, but nothing outrageous. Once you get to the multi-million-dollar stage, especially $3 million, that's $600,000 a year. That's not it's not insane by any stretch, but just don't be, you know, anyone out there doing $100,000, don't go too crazy with, oh, 20%, I do that in my sleep. Well, yeah. But yeah, so just keep that in mind. All right, great. Thank you for the context. Right. That'll help me. I've got a lot of stuff. So first of all, my last business was a car dealership. So I had a sales force there. Before that, I had a construction company, had a sales force there. So I've done this, there's some things I've done and know about, and some things I haven't done and still know about, and some things I haven't done and don't know about. And I always want to let you know.
And that's why I'm asking you, because I do know what you've done in the past, and I know you you have some familiarity with it. It's really the aspect of commercial janitorial. You're right. There's salespeople selling everything. And I've tried some people who have sold other things, but when they got to the process, which it's more of a process selling janitorial, you're not going door to door, putting an advertisement in a phone book and getting an instant sale, or selling, you know, Girl Scout cookies where someone just buys it when they see it. You're talking about, you know, the longer process of cultivating a potential customer and working on them. And it may not be that instant gratification type of sale in this business.
Yeah. And it's funny. I've got some notes here I've been taking as you've been talking to make sure I get everything out in the right order. And that's one of the first things I had is, let's set some expectations first, because I think that'll help. A lot of times people expect A, and when it turns out to be B, even though B is on track and successful, they give up because they expected A. So if your expectation is, hey, I'm going to hire a sales guy, pay him, you know, whatever, some sort of base plus a salary, or, well, gosh, there's so much to talk about. But if your expectation is certainly in the janitorial company that I'm going to hire this guy in 2-3 months in, I'm going to start getting positive cash flow, and this guy's going to get a good return on your investment, it's certainly possible. But I wouldn't, it's not a business strategy. I've found, and in construction, similar. It's more of that you're building a relationship, you've got the service, you kind of, You need to wait till they're ready to buy, right? With a lot of the larger commercial companies, right. You know, they're ready to buy when they want to buy, not when you want to sell.
Right.
So long story short, you've got to look at six. For me, it was 6 months. I'd look to lose money for the first 6 months and then start making money, which isn't a fun prospect. But
again,
I'd rather just tell you that's how it is. And then you add turnover to it. It's really kicking the nuts. If this guy leaves after 4 months, you're like, well, that was just a big, endless bucket of money. The second thing is, even if he leaves after 9 months, it's like, well, God bless it. He started making money. Now he's gone. I guess start over 6 months ago. So that's a bigger concept than people might get in terms of it takes a while to close deals. It takes a while to learn the business, and it takes a while. So just know that it's a long-term thing, and you might generally, you're going to want to have multiple salespeople for that very reason. If you hire one guy or gal and he's 7.5 months later, he parts ways and you haven't really gone anywhere, you have to start all over with somebody else. If you hire three people, one can suck, one could be average, and one can be a winner, and at least you've got something going on. So that's the first thing, is set expectations properly. It's not a short-term win. It's a long-term win. The good thing is, before you get too depressed, I want to jump out of a building, one that you clean, ironically, because it's so difficult. What you were saying, no one else wants to tell me how they do it. I'm guessing one of two reasons. One, they're not doing it. Two, more likely they're doing it, but they're not having any success. So they don't have anything to say. Right. That's why they're not telling you.
I think so.
Yeah. So I'm telling you, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not working. So that's the first piece. Second thing you said, I'm just going to hit this really quick. Compensation. Especially when it's such a negative cash flow proposition up front, so many people are tempted to do, oh, it's fine, they're free, they're commission only. I've tried it. I've done it. I don't recommend it. Treat them like a base salary. The problem is, when you go commission only, in your mind, in their mind, it's, he's not paying me, I can do what I want when I want, it's not a real job. In your mind, I don't really need to pour the resources or time into him because he's not a real salesperson. And it makes it harder. So as painful as it is, and it doesn't have to be a ton of money, but I'm not talking minimum wage. Like, depending on the part of the country you're in, it might be a $30,000 to $60,000 base salary with the opportunity to make more. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing is, you mentioned past experience. I don't know that that's what I'd be looking for. I'm looking for someone that, A, is a core values match, first and foremost. Period, end of sentence. Okay. If they're not a core values match, I don't care who they are, they're not qualified. Second, I'm looking for someone that will go out and get it and drag it home, kill it and drag it home. That mentality and attitude, whether they've sold before or whether they've sold janitorial services before, secondary. I need that killer instinct. I'll give you a quick hint that it worked really well for me. At the end of every sales interview I ever did, my last quote unquote question was, hey, Peter, really appreciate the time. I've enjoyed it. Unfortunately, I don't think you're going to be a good fit. And then I just shut up. And what you're looking for is someone to go, not to go, well, you're a big jerk, Mike. I don't want your stupid job anyway. Oh, great. Thank you very much for letting me know where we stand. Or the, I'm so sorry, Mr. Campion. I didn't mean to waste your time. I'll be on my way. Oh, my gosh. Thank God I didn't offer you a job. What we're looking for is, oh, my gosh, Peter, tell me about that. I thought we were having a really good conversation. And from what we've talked about, it seems like it's going to be an excellent fit. Quite frankly, I'm shocked. Can you give me some insight as to what I'm missing? Now I got a sales guy, right? I don't care if that guy sold building service contractors or not.
Right.
That's what I need, is someone that's going to go after it. So go ahead.
And you're basically making them sell their way in. So you're like, basically you're telling me, sell me on why I should, why you think you'll be good at this.
Yeah. Or actually, and I'm doing it the way the customers will. The customers won't go, hey, big guy, sell me on why I should use your janitorial services. They'll just say stuff like, I don't think we're a fit. And you can't you can't afford to have the guy go, okay, well, I'm sorry to waste your time. You need him to go tell me about that. That's I'm shocked. Let's talk. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna move quick because there's so much stuff. So the past experience, first and foremost, I'd go for drag it, kill it home. Get out, kill it, drag it home, feed the family. I'm gonna do what I gotta do. Second, I'm gonna look for sales experience, right? I do like that they have, or at least commission based or performance based pay. As far as janitorial services, I could take or leave. I found that they get bad training and they think they know everything, and it's you just have to spend the first 3 months untraining them before you can train them. And I almost devalue, not that it would be a deal breaker, but I take that as a negative, not a positive, if they've got janitorial sales experience.
Okay.
The last big concept I want to get, and then we're going to hit the lightning round, cause I'm dying to get some of your experiences out to Cleaning Nation, is marketing.
Sure.
I got to tell you, the better your marketing is, the better your salespeople are. I always used to think, I'm just going to put more money into salespeople and less money into marketing and let these, why would I pay for a bunch of marketing? That's your job, for crying out loud.
Right, right.
Very, very different. Marketing is getting a predisposed, pre-qualified, pre-interested prospect in front of your salesperson. That is absolutely the job of the company. It's far cheaper than salespeople. It's far quicker than salespeople. It's a lot more fun than salespeople. And once you've got that locked and loaded and you've got these systems running in the background, not a bunch of people, not a bunch of staff, just systems. Now, when you've got, there's a difference between the salesperson going, well, there's the phone book and here's the cities we work in. Go get them, Tiger.
Right.
There are guys that can do that and they earn $150,000 a year and you have to hold their hand and pat their head and tell them they're amazing and they're high maintenance. It's like a Ferrari. You don't just park it and forget about it. You got to be on that thing.
Right.
But if you have a system where you've got qualified, interested leads, you've already educated and indoctrinated in how to buy and what's important and what should this process look like and why price and hours isn't what you should be asking and what the real opportunity, what the real fears they should be addressing are. Once you've kind of educated them and indoctrinated them through a good marketing system, and you just know, hey, on a bad month, we're going to have 47 inquiries, and on a good month, we're going to have 62. And of those inquiries, they're all interested. Okay. Now you can hire a salesperson that has got a chance to succeed. That's not just this unicorn that you have to pay a couple $100,000 a year that can go out and do everything on his own. Now you can pay a regular mere mortal that doesn't need all this attention and time, a lot less money, and he's going to be happy as pie because he's only talking with qualified, pre-educated customers. So I'd focus probably first on the marketing to make sure I've got the good qualified leads first and then the salespeople to handle those leads as opposed to the salespeople trying to do the whole thing because it's too expensive. It doesn't work. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Are you using mostly telemarketers to get those leads?
No.
To set that up?
No. I would actually consider a telemarketer a salesperson.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's what I've used a lot. You're right. But I kind of feel like they have part of the, you know, they make decent amount of money if they're getting good leads that close. And but yeah, they really are doing part of the sales process. So that's where I assume maybe you're saying use telemarketers to get the leads for the salespeople, but that would just be, I think, too much money invested in the salesperson to get them leads from the telemarketer. Yeah, I take those leads myself and go out and try to close when I get use a telemarketer to get leads.
Which is totally appropriate from zero to about 1.5 million, maybe two. At the level you're at, now's the time to start shifting out unless it's a, you know, maybe you might say, hey, if it's a $10,000 a month account or more based on the square footage and what we know, I'm taking it. If not, I'm going to leave it to a salesperson. Or once you get good salespeople, they should be better than you and you don't have to even do that. You can say, let's have my best guy on it and that ain't me. So that said,
ideally,
a telemarketer is really just another form of a salesperson. You're just breaking the sales process into two parts.
Okay.
Marketing would be like this podcast is marketing, right? I do zero sales, but guess what?
Right.
I get so many people calling me going, Mike, oh my God, how much do you cost? What can I pay you to? What? And I don't have any salespeople. I don't even sell.
Right.
I take orders, right? And I'm not saying you should do a podcast, but you see the difference between telemarketing is interruptive. Hi, Pete, my name is Mike Campy, and I'm with Camping Cleaning Service, and who's the guy I need to talk to? I'm interrupting you, right? You've got 47 things you're trying to do, and a cleaning service ain't one of them.
Yes.
But if I have some sort of educational process online, in Facebook groups, offline, in a newsletter, in lunch and learns, I don't want to get too focused on modality.
Yeah.
But if I'm putting out content in terms of, hey, Mike, are you looking to grow your revenues this year? Well, yeah, I'm looking to grow my revenues. Did you know that facilities management can, not only is it 4% of your overall budget, but it can affect sick days. It can affect revenue. It can affect that conversation I'm interested in having. Oh, well, we're doing a lunch and learn for 20 business owners like you at the Roost Chris down the road. See how that's now that's marketing right now.
Gotcha.
That's not interruptive. It's you're jumping into the flow of what I'm already thinking about and worried about and saying, here's some information for you. And the information is going to be stuff like 7 things you got to know before you hand over the keys to your facility to a complete stranger. Oh shit. I'm interested in that. And then I might download that report from your website. And guess what?
Right.
If you, like I get, I don't know, 300 people a month downloading some sort of content that I've offered. Now, instead of if I've got $5,000 a month to spend on marketing, how much do you think I'm going to spend on Tom, Dick, and Harry that I don't know? Virtually none. How much do you think I'm going to spend on the people that have downloaded a report and said, I'm interested in that? Because guess what? If I download a report that says 7 things you've got to know before you hand over your keys to a commercial cleaning company, I'm a pretty damn good prospect, right? I'm not a Tom, Dick, or Harry. I'm interested.
That's right.
So that gives you the opportunity to now focus your salespeople effort and marketing efforts on those people as opposed to here's a phone book, which is very expensive and very time consuming. All right. I've yacked way too much and I'm dying to get some of your feedback. Let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to ask you 3 quick questions. I have no doubt from the time that we spent, you're going to give me 3 amazing amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best advice you've ever received in the cleaning business?
Best advice, I'd say, when I look back, even though I don't always believe it, or I have a hard time believing it at times, I realize my father-in-law had once told me, he said, this business is a numbers game. And I would say, you know, I don't really believe that. I love my customers. I work so hard in this building, especially when you lose a customer. He would say, don't worry about it. It's a numbers game. Just go out and replace it. And it's basically an amount of money, which is what the overall goal is, to make money in this business. So even though I feel, you know, I'm down, I'm out, a customer canceled me. I don't know why. What did I do wrong? How can I get them back? The bottom line is, at the end of the night, I try not to stress about it, because I realize if I go out tomorrow and get another account that size, I've replaced it. And I try to, in the big picture of things, look at it that way, that it really is just a game of numbers. And, you know, at the end of each month, the end of each year, you want to reach a sales goal, and you are going to lose business in this type of business. And you just can't let it eat you up all the time.
I think I'm with you. I think there's about 2/3 of that I'm behind and agree with, and a third I'm like, I have some different thoughts. But luckily, we're out of time, so I won't bore you with all that. Question
number two as well. I kind of grapple with it as well, and I say, I don't always, you know, my customers, they are very special. They mean, but in reality, then I get sick to my stomach about when I lose an account, and I just kind of look back and take it that way after. I just knew my father would be telling me that in my ear.
And it's a tightrope, really. If you get too involved, you're right, you'll get crushed emotionally. If you don't get involved enough, you're doing something wrong. So I think that there's a balance. All right, question two. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that we can all learn from?
Well, I would say to where you're cleaning, make sure it's a safe environment for you and your employees. Early on, I took on a surgical center. I don't know why they gave it to me, because I had no past experience, but now we specialize in medical cleaning, including surgery centers, dialysis centers. But what I didn't know then, I just figured, you know, we're going to go in, we'll make money, we'll clean this place up without having the proper knowledge to keep myself safe, to train under OSHA guidelines, bloodborne pathogen training, needle stick prevention. We just didn't have the safety information to be set in an environment like that. And in reality, we should never have been there. Fortunately, we lost the count after not too long. This was maybe a first year or two when we started. But that, looking back now, that was a huge mistake. And it's just because it's something I didn't know. I just thought a cleaning company goes in and takes care of a facility like that. So it's really, as far as safety goes and proper training of your employees, is basically our number one priority at this point in time.
Well, you're going to learn that lesson. It's just you get to choose whether you want to do the hard way or the easy way.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Great, great feedback. Last question. What's one idea, something simple and easy, that Cleaning Nation can implement right away to improve their business and or their lives?
I would say my entire way I run my business, actually since day one, was given great customer service. Every business, and including cleaning, is if you provide great customer service, 99% of the other cleaning companies will not be able to match you. They're focused on cleaning the building and taking care of cleaning issues. But I would just say, go out and see your customer, see them during the day. Don't just, send an email, which is fine as well, or leave a message for them, but actually just go shake their hand, let them know who you are, let them know you're an actual person, and that you're the one behind your cleaning company, and you're the one who's maintaining what gets done at night. And I think it'll help keep your accounts much longer if they can put an actual face to the company that's cleaning there at night.
And that's a KG veteran secret, by the way. It is so fun and sexy to go get new accounts and, you know, sign up new people and get everybody started. So much fun, so sexy. But the reality is, the money is made in keeping every account you've got another couple months, keeping the accounts that you've got longer is so much more profitable, so much less kind of emotionally satisfying, right, to get that check every month,
right.
Of course. But the reality is, once you get past that emotion, if you want to make money, keeping your customers is a huge key. All right, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. I just love your story, your passion, your desire to grow. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, when you want to check out Peter's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, you know it's all growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.